CD 6.
The hooded figure reached down with one hand and released a rope ladder. In its other hand, it held a silver rod, which had about it the unmistakable air of something designed for killing people. Rincewind's first impression was reinforced when the figure raised the stick and waved it carelessly towards the shore. A section of rock vanished, leaving a small grey haze of nothingness.
"That's so you don't think I'm afraid to use it," said the figure.
"Don't think you're afraid," said Rincewind. The hooded figure snorted.
"We know all about you, Rincewind the magician. You are a man of great cunning and artifice. You laugh in the face of death. Your affected air of craven cowardice does not fool me."
It fooled Rincewind. He began, and paled as the nothingness stick was turned towards him. "I see you know all about me," he finished weakly, and sat down heavily on the slippery surface. He and Two Flower, under instructions from the hooded commander, strapped themselves down to rings set in the transparent disc.
"If you make the merest suggestion of weaving a spell," said the darkness under the hood, "you die. Third quadrant, reconcile. Ninth quadrant, redouble. Forward, all!"
A wall of water shot into the air behind Rincewind, and the disc jerked suddenly. The dreadful presence of the sea troll had probably concentrated the hydrophobes' minds wonderfully, because it then rose at a very steep angle and didn't begin level flight until it was a dozen fathoms above the waves. Rincewind glanced down through the transparent surface and wished he hadn't.
"Well, off again, then," said Two Flower cheerfully.
He turned and waved at the troll, now no more than a speck on the edge of the world. Rincewind glared at him.
"Doesn't anything ever worry you?" he asked.
"We're still alive, aren't we?" asked Two Flower. "And you yourself said they wouldn't be going to all this trouble if we were just going to be slaves. I expect Tethys was exaggerating. I expect it's all a misunderstanding. I expect we'll be sent home. After we've seen Krull, of course. And I must say it all sounds fascinating."
Yes, said Rincewind in a hollow voice. "Fascinating." He was thinking, "I've seen excitement, and I've seen boredom, and boredom was best." Had either of them happened to look down at that moment, they would have noticed a strange V-shaped wave surging through the water far below them, its apex pointing directly at Tethys's island. But they weren't looking. The 24 hydrophobic magicians were looking, but to them it was just another piece of dreadfulness, not really any different from the liquid horror around it. They were probably right. Sometime before all this, the blazing pirate ship had hissed under the waves and started the long, slow slide towards the distant ooze. It was more distant than average, because directly under the stricken keel was the Gorana Trench, a chasm in the disc's surface that was so black, so deep, and so reputedly evil that even the Krakens went there fearfully and in pairs. In less reputedly evil chasms, the fish went about with natural lights on their heads and on the whole managed quite well. In Gorana, they left them unlit, and insofar as it is possible for something without legs to creep, they crept. They tended to bump into things, too. Horrible things. The water around the ship turned from green to purple, from purple to black, from black to a darkness so complete that blackness itself seemed merely grey by comparison. Most of its timbers had already been crushed into splinters under the intense pressure. It spiraled past groves of nightmare polyps and drifting forests of seaweed, which glowed with faint, diseased colours. Things brushed it briefly with soft, cold tentacles as they darted away into the freezing silence. Something rose up from the murk and ate it in one mouthful. Sometime later, the islanders on a little rimwood atoll were amazed to find, washed into their little local lagoon, the wave-rocked corpse of a hideous sea monster, all beaks, eyes, and tentacles. They were further astonished at its size, since it was rather larger than their village. But their surprise was tiny compared to the huge, stricken expression on the face of the dead monster, which appeared to have been trampled to death. Somewhat further rimward of the atoll, a couple of little boats, trolling a net for the ferocious free-swimming oysters which abounded in those seas, caught something that dragged both vessels for several miles before one captain had the presence of mind to sever the lines. But even his bewilderment was as nothing compared to that of the islanders on the last atoll in the archipelago. During the following night, they were awakened by a terrific crashing and splintering noise coming from their minute jungle. When some of the bolder spirits went